Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We are glad that you are here. Mason, I appreciated your words. Is he out right now? So you can tell him that I appreciated his words, but if anyone brings up Eutychus, the guy who falls asleep during a long stretch of preaching right before the preacher gets up, just tell him he kind of brought out the cold sweats. It's instinctual because it hits so close to home. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I've made a career out of putting people to sleep during this stretch, especially kids. But there's some of you who I'm just going to call Eutychus. I won't call you by name, but you know who you are. And it's a good thing you're in a pew instead of a windowsill right now. That's all I'm going to say. All right, I want to tell you about one of my favorite stories that's come out within the last couple of months. There was a mother in Dallas, and some of you have heard this story. Her name is Megan Neitzel. And she opened the door to her house one day, and she saw that Amazon had delivered two packages, which is like every day or every other day at our house, it feels like right now. But two packages, and she opened them up, and one was a giant tin of cookies, not the small bag, but the giant Duggar family size tin of cookies, like you see behind me right there. And the other was a large box that held a large dollhouse, retail for about $150. But here was the problem. She knew that she didn't order this. And so she went and asked her husband, "Hey, we got this really large tin of cookies and a large dollhouse. Did you order this?" And he said, "I didn't order that." And she quickly ruled out her two sons, which left her little six-year-old daughter, Brooke. Right there. Angelic smile, don't you think? And so she asked her about it. Conversation went something like this: "Brooke, did you order a dollhouse and some cookies?" And Brooke said, "Well, I was talking with Alexa about a dollhouse and some cookies, and I guess she sent me some." Now, let me pause for a moment. For those of you who don't know to whom I'm referring when I say the name Alexa. Now, in this house, Alexa lives in that, a little Amazon Echo Dot. Well, lives in that, sort of, because that little dot, which is a speaker and almost like a mini computer, is connected to the internet. And through the internet, that little dot is connected to Amazon. And their massive mainframe of computers. And Alexa is there, much like a virtual assistant, like Siri in your phone. And Alexa is always on and always listening. It really is always listening, but it only perks up and responds when you call her name, Alexa. And you can do all sorts of things with Alexa. Since it has a built-in speaker, you can say, "Alexa, play Justin Bieber or Lady Gaga." And if you're J.J. Childers, I think he's gone, tell him I called him out. And you are a Justin Bieber believer, and you've got all his albums, then Alexa can tap into that and play that music. Or while you're getting ready in the morning, you can say, "Alexa, what's the weather going to be like today?" And Alexa will tell you about the weather. And since Alexa is manufactured by and is really all about connecting you to Amazon's online marketplace, and Amazon happens to be the biggest online retailer in the nation and maybe in the world, then Alexa is more than happy to grant your request. If you ask, it will order. Now, there are some safeguards that are built in there, like if you ask, it'll say, "Do you want me to order?" And you have to say yes. And there can be some parental safeguards or, you know, kind of past protected ordering as well, which this family clearly had not turned on at the time. And so the mom was able to look back through the app and see the conversation that took place between Brooke and Alexa. And Brooke went to Alexa and said, "Alexa, can you play Dollhouse with me and give me a dollhouse?" To which Alexa would have said something like, "Do you want me to order a dollhouse?" To which Brooke would have said like, yeah. And what about a massive amount of cookies as well? I don't know if that's exactly what she said, but I do know she ended her conversation with this: "Alexa, I love you so much." And I bet she does, right? I mean, what six-year-old wouldn't love a virtual assistant that always responds when you say her name and sends 4 pounds of cookies and $150 toys? But to me, that wasn't the best part of the story. The best part is her story went viral. It went all over the place, and everyone picked it up, including newscasts who were telling her story. And so sometimes when the newscasters were telling her story, they would quote her, "Alexa, can you buy me a dollhouse?" And there were reports all over the nation of people who had their TV on near their Alexa. And Alexa heard her name. Now, fortunately, the safeguard is there where it asks, "Do you want me to order you a dollhouse?" But Alexa was ready. Everywhere it was listening for all the reports, Alexa would wake up. Oh, and was primed to order a dollhouse for anyone who said yes. Now, I made the statement a minute ago, what a dream come true it would be for a six-year-old to have an always listening, always ready virtual assistant who sends things instantly on request, or at least in 2 days with free shipping. But the story especially stood out to me because of the ways I think it can start to overlap with a common mindset and sometimes a too common approach to prayer that can, over time, become kind of one-dimensional. Not that it's true for all of us, not that it's true all the time, certainly not that it's malicious or intentional. But sometimes we can slip into a similar pattern. We are told that God is always near and He's always listening, ready for us to call His name. What a great and wonderful and reassuring reminder about our God. And we like the idea that God is always ready to hear our requests, and we sure hope to grant our request, and in very short order as well, as long as we're at it. And in some ways, we come by those desires naturally and even biblically. We are invited in Philippians 4:6, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present your request to God. And Jesus tells us, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. And He also tells us, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. And if we could just stop with those verses, it would be so simple. And yet we know faithful people who ask and don't always receive. Like Paul asks for this ailment, this thorn in his flesh, to be taken away. And what he receives is this word: "My grace is sufficient for you." Or if we read a little further in that Luke passage, we would see that Jesus ends the section like this: how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Which alone tells us, reminds us that there is something bigger and different and something more in view than simply asking for a nicer house or a bigger income or six-pack abs that have always eluded me. And so today, that's where I want to take us. I don't want to undermine the gracious presence of God that is always with us and always listening and always eager to hear our prayers, nor do I want to undermine God's generous and loving invitation to present all that we have and all that we are and all of our requests to Him in prayer. But what I do want to do is widen the conversation, blow it up, because prayer is so much richer and deeper and different than the Alexa always listening to ship us what we want mentality. Mature prayer impacts what we ask for. And in mature prayer, we realize that the most important listening is not God listening to us, but us learning to listen to God. And in mature prayer, we embrace that there is far more than just request when we are communicating and communing with God. So the reality is, to really dive into prayer takes far more than one sermon. It's a whole series. We're just going to scratch the surface today. But I do want to challenge us to think beyond maybe some of the smaller, more narrow approaches that we might have fallen into over time, that we might have slipped into over time. If you're just now joining us, we're in a series, a one-day series, in which every week we're invited, we're challenged to practice a virtue or abstain from a vice for one day during the week in hopes that it expands our understanding, it expands our appreciation, it expands our approach. And the challenge this week for all of us is one day of prayer. And here's the first part of that. My encouragement to you is, make your one day of prayer a full day of prayer, morning to night, all day. And I'm guessing a lot of you are thinking, that's impossible. We don't live the laid-back preacher life like you, fella, which I don't know why you had to get personal in your response there, but what I don't mean is getting away to a monastery for a day. Although, if you could take a full day of retreat, and I've done the monastery thing, and it's wonderful, do it. But the day away is kind of a rare, special treat for most of us. That is not a regular kind of occurrence. Here's what I'm encouraging instead. Start the prayer in the morning. However you get into it, your dear Lord or your heavenly Father, before your feet hit the floor. But don't say the amen until you're going to bed at night. Keep the line of communication and communion open all day. I think when Paul talks about praying without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, or praying continually, he's not talking about sort of endless words always going up to God, either verbally or in our mind. What he's talking about is no longer dividing our life between the sacred few moments and the secular many moments. For Paul, it's all done in communion with God. And you may still find during this one day of prayer that a few designated moments of more intentional, mindful prayer are helpful. But Paul reminds us that our aim, our goal, is that everything we do, in word and in deed, we're doing it all in the name of Jesus. So, speaking of the name of Jesus, here's the second challenge. Seek to truly pray in Jesus' name. Now, that's not to suggest that you haven't already done that. In fact, most of us were taught that that is the good, proper, and appropriate way to an end of prayer. Very few of us can get to the end without saying, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Right? That's the caboose. We know how this thing is supposed to wind up. But to truly pray in Jesus' name is more than like a sign-off signal. Like Porky Pig's, that's all, folks, or Walter Cronkite's, and that's the way it was. By the way, I just want you to appreciate how current I am with my pop culture references there. There was like three people who were like, okay, we got a Porky Pig and a Walter Cronkite going here. I don't know who that Gaga lady was that he referenced a little bit earlier. I'm here for all of you on that. Okay, to pray in the name of Jesus is to aim to pray for that which Jesus would pray, and to long for that which Jesus would long, and to love those whom Jesus would love and how Jesus would love. In other words, we get a great model of this in Jesus in the garden. When he lays out his requests and petitions, but he moves toward this conclusion. Here's what I want, but it's not just what I want, what you will. That's what needs to be done. And it's what Jesus models in the Lord's Prayer when he teaches us to pray regularly, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So my encouragement is during this one day, and hopefully it influences the way we move forward in prayer, that your approach is like the mystics said, that prayer is, in a way, we're trying to think God's thoughts after him, shaped by the mind of God, by the mind of Christ, so that our prayers become more like his prayers, his desires, his longings. And the next one is this: turn to something new by leaning on something old. So, for a lot of us, the primary way that we've been taught to approach prayer is kind of a free-flowing, whatever's on our mind, spontaneous approach to prayer, simply lifting up what's coming to our mind at the time. And those can be wonderful prayers, and keep that up. But sometimes you may find your prayer life stagnant or stuffy or stale, or you're struggling to get out of a rut. And there's sometimes when we are at a loss for words during a time of loss or a stretch of doubt or a desert of despair. And sometimes we just want to broaden our experiences. So my encouragement is this reminder: you are not the first person to walk this path of prayer. We have a great cloud of witnesses, of people who've gone before us, who can show us the way of prayer and model for us different approaches to prayer. One of the best ways to expand our approach or find words when we lack words is to simply pray the Scriptures. Pray the Psalms, for example. There's praise, and there's hope, and there's lament, and there's doubt, and there's celebration, and there's devotion. When you struggle to find the words, there are all kinds of words that can lead the way in the Psalms. Or use other scriptures. There's long ones, and there's short ones. Pray God's words back to Him. Let that guide you. Or you can use something like the Serenity Prayer, which I know quite a few people who've gone through AA for whom that is a lifeline. And they've memorized it. And I've had some that share with me that they say it every day, multiple times a day. But it is a wonderful prayer that others would benefit from and be blessed by. There's a prayer I want to lead us in right now. I want to read for you. This is called the Peace Prayer from St. Francis. And some of you are going to be familiar with it because we made a song out of it. And some of you have sung it before. But let me read that, and you can see it on the screen behind me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Quite a few of you have sung that. You didn't know where that came from. What a wonderful prayer. Could you imagine the impact that kind of prayer would have if you prayed that on a regular basis? And here's my final encouragement to you. And that is, I want to invite you, I want to challenge you to commit to some sort of regular practice of prayer during Lent, during our 40 days of growing deeper. And you'll see in the inside part of the bulletin that there's a few more thoughts on that. So some of you grew up and that's something you're aware of and something you've done. And some of us grew up, we're like, can we do that? If someone else started that and we didn't start that, is that something we can actually do? It's an invitation. None of this is obligation. But you may find, as many people have found, that as we move toward the Easter season, which reminds us not only the story of Christ's death and resurrection, but the story that is supposed to shape and guide and form who we are day in and day out, that we are called to be a people of baptism. We are called to be a people who live into the rhythm of dying and rising every day. That's what Jesus says. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. And so for hundreds of years, people have used the time leading up to Easter as a time of renewed focus and dedication. And I want to invite you into that. There's a few simple ideas in here that you can look at. But it's boiled down to this. Be intentional. Choose a thing or a couple of things about something you don't do. And there's a variety of ways that people approach that. Food fast, but not just food fast. Media fast, social media fast. Staying away from certain things in order to create new space and new time and new focus for God. Be intentional about something that you do. And I would encourage some different approaches to prayer in that. In fact, many of you, hopefully, most of you got a handout, and thanks to the Welcome Committee who put that with your bulletin. I've thrown a few ideas on this sheet, and if you didn't, I think there's still some in the back. One side it says communicating and communing with God, expanding our lives of prayer, and there's some different approaches here in case you've gotten in a rut in prayer. And then I've given some examples of a few kinds of prayers that you can adopt on your own, but there's all kinds out there that would be wonderful to look for. So my encouragement is, as we move toward this special time in Easter, that you would be intentional about finding a practice, perhaps, that you do, maybe seeing if there's something that you hold back on to create more time and focus and space. And then you might think about partnering with a friend or a couple of people. in this journey, a prayer partner during this time, a growth partner during this time. And I want to close with one more prayer, which is one of my favorites, and I've got it on my desk in my office. This is just a portion of a prayer attributed to St. Patrick called the Shield of St. Patrick. And some of you know St. Patrick, who is not just about free-flowing alcohol and green rivers and clovers, but was an actual person who was taken captive into Ireland, imprisoned, escaped, and instead of getting as far away as he could, decided, you know who needs the gospel? The people who imprisoned me. And so he went back. And over time, through living it out, he and others continued to bring the gospel and bring change to Ireland, which is why he's celebrated. And there is this prayer that was attributed to him that he prayed every day, and it's wonderful and it's powerful, and there's a longer form. But I want to close with just a brief form. And this is one that I pray often. And again, I want you to imagine what your day would be like if this regularly flowed from your mouth. So let's close in prayer, and then Daniel's going to come up and lead us in song after this. As we go through our day, Christ be with me. Christ be within me. Christ be before me. Christ be behind me. Christ on my right. Christ on my left. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ to win me, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I stand, Christ to comfort me, Christ to restore me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me, Christ in the heart of all that love me, Christ in the mouth of all who speak of me. Let's stand and sing together.